This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan MacLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. It's been a crazy month of sport, what with the FIFA World Cup and the Wimbledon and the rugby. But there's also an important cycling event happening at the moment. I'm talking, of course, about the Tour de France. And the event's technology partner is none other than South African IT services group Dimension Data. I'm on an internet call now with Peter Gray, Senior Director of Technology for the Dimension Data Global Sports Practice, to find out more about what exactly this entails and how the company is using technology to enhance the event. Welcome to the podcast, Peter. I take it you're in France at the moment watching the race?
Absolutely. We're actually at the top of Alpe d'Huez, one of the most iconic locations of the Tour de France, at the finish line of today's stage.
Oh, stunning, stunning. You'll have to WhatsApp me a photo when we finished recording today. So, Peter, you are heading up the technology operations for the Tour de France on behalf of Dimension Data. How has the race gone so far?
Yeah, it's gone incredibly well, and it's been an exciting race with some fascinating stages. Last week over the cobbles near Roubaix, and this week we're in the Alps. So some exciting racing, and the technology's really been able to help showcase and help people understand what's going on, particularly when the racing gets complicated. I think yesterday we had over 30 groups of riders out on the roads, spread over 20 kilometres. So, the ability to keep track of where everybody is and the implications of that on the race using technology is just fantastic.
Well, we're going to get into that in some detail in this podcast today, but let me ask you a bit about the Tour de France. I don't know an enormous amount about it. I presume it's the biggest cycling race in the world. It was started all the way back in 1905. But maybe, Peter, take us through exactly what it entails, how many competitors take part each year, how long it goes on for, et cetera, et cetera.
So the Tour de France is by far the premier cycling event of the year. It is the largest annual sporting event, so it's got a massive global audience. And in particular, it has an audience that is full of cycling fans, but also lots of non-cycling fans. And here in France, it is just a festival atmosphere as the tour comes through different towns. It's a three-week race, so it's a huge logistical exercise, move every single day from one town to another town, hundreds of kilometres between each stage. The riders cover around 3,500 kilometres over the course of that 3 weeks.
Wow.
And over all sorts of different terrains, so over the mountains, over flat stages, by the coast, and then finishing in the iconic Champs-Élysées in Paris. There are 176 riders this year. It's a slightly smaller peloton this year. It was reduced to improve rider safety. Each team has 8 riders. So they work together as a team to work to achieve the objectives of that team, whether it be winning the overall race or whether it be winning individual stages or whether it's winning some of the other jerseys that are available, some of the other prizes, the sprinter's prize or the mountain climber's prize. So there are different competitions within the competition, which makes it particularly interesting.
There must be a lot of competition too, just to be a rider in this event. How do you qualify to take part in the Tour de France as a cyclist?
Well, it is the race that all professional cyclists would like to be able to ride, and really in order to be able to ride the Tour de France, you need to be part of one of the Pro Tour or World Tour teams, I should say, or one of the small number of additional teams that get an invitation. So you need to be at the top level of professional road cycling and in one of those teams. And even within those teams, a team will typically have around 30 riders, and it's only 8 that get selected for the Tour de France. So, you need to be one of the top riders within your team at that absolute top level.
Yeah, so if you're riding in this tournament, you are guaranteed to be one of the world's top cyclists.
Absolutely.
So I know Jeremy Ord and the boys are all very keen cyclists. When did Dimension Data's involvement with this race get started?
Yeah, so we began working with ASO. So ASO is the organisation that owns the Tour de France in 2015. We began the relationship as the official technology partner of the Tour de France. ASO were looking for a technology partner who could help them to innovate, and in particular, the objective for them was to move into the digital age. You know, as you said earlier, the race has been around for over 100 years, and it began, in that first incarnation, it was designed to sell newspapers. The idea being that each day journalists would write about the race and, created compelling stories that people wanted to read and to understand, and so they'd buy more newspapers. And over the years, the race has evolved with the technology. So, from newspapers to radio to television, now we're fortunate enough to have, these incredible high definition, quality images coming from, the most scenic locations of France. The ASO recognised that they needed to be able to engage a younger audience and a digitally savvy audience. And so they needed to be able to create compelling digital products, compelling social products, and to continue to enhance the television broadcast and the ability to enhance that with data and effectively digitise the race and create new channels for fans to engage with the race was what they were seeking to do, and they were looking for a technology partner to help them with that. So that's the journey that we've been working with them on since 2015.
Was it a tender that they put out, or was there just a natural fit between Dimension Data and the Tour de France?
Yeah, they'd been looking for a technology partner for some time, and when we met with them, actually there was very much a natural fit, both in terms of the culture of the organisations, but in terms of the objectives and capabilities. And I was fortunate enough to be part of the very first face-to-face meeting discussing this, and it was very clear right from the outset that as organisations we could work together well, and the skills and the capabilities that Dimension Data have were well suited to the problems and the challenges that ASO were looking to solve.
So let's talk a bit about the technology that Dimension Data has deployed for the Tour de France over the years and what's involved in this year's race specifically. I presume there's a lot of infrastructure that you have to put on the ground every year. I believe you have something like 100 high-tech trucks on the ground following the race around. I presume you also have deployed internet infrastructure, data centers, GPS satellites, everything like that. Maybe take us through some of the infrastructure stuff, and then perhaps you could talk a little bit about some of the software that powers it. I know you're applying everything from machine learning to predictive analytics in the 2018 race.
That's right. So we're sitting here, and as I speak to you, I'm sitting within our big data truck, which is one of the trucks that make up the Tour de France technical zone. And the technical zone is, as you said, it's around 100 trucks from all the different broadcasters around the world, different technology components from telecommunications, satellite connectivity, the challenge of having power in every location, all of the digital products. There are teams, trucks that host teams here that are creating social content. This area is a mass of trucks and wires. There are literally cables going everywhere. Every truck is connected up to multiple other trucks, with television feeds, with data cabling, with power, with fiber optic cables, etc. And so it's this massive logistical exercise of moving this technology zone every single day, pulling it down after the race, having it transported overnight, the next day setting it all up again. So this incredible environment. And then in terms of, you know, the way that, you know, we're then implementing things like the live tracking data, which is, you know, a key element of what we're involved in, you know, that involves, you know, devices attached to every single bike, and those bikes are transmitting data to gateways on the television motorbikes and on the officials' race cars, and then up to helicopter that takes some of those stunning images you see, and then there are planes, fixed wing aircraft that are following the race and are bouncing television and radio and data signals back to this race finish line, where we're able to intercept them and process those. Then that's the on-site infrastructure, but then more and more, you know, a lot of the compute and the work and the processing is being done off-site in cloud data centers. So a lot of the work that we do with things like the analytics and the machine learning and the digital platforms that we deliver are all delivered using cloud infrastructure in our managed cloud platform in Amsterdam with a disaster recovery site in London. And so, you know, you've got this combination of on-site infrastructure with cloud-based environments, and that allows us also to have global teams supporting the environment. So we don't necessarily need to have everybody who's involved in supporting the solution physically here on the ground. We can have people in, we've got a big team in Johannesburg looking after this, you know, along with teams in Melbourne in Australia, where I'm from, in India, in the US, and in the UK, all involved in the overarching support of this solution.
So you must be collecting an enormous amount of data if there's tracking devices attached to every rider or to every bicycle in the race. How much data is the Tour de France producing each day? And what sort of infrastructure is needed to support that level of data production?
Yeah, so we collect GPS position from every rider every second of the race. So as you say, you know, that's quite a significant amount of data that we're processing. But probably more importantly, you know, with that data flow than the volume is the processing speed that we need to be able to achieve. Yep. So when we talk about big data, you know, we often use those sort of terms, you know, you know, volume and velocity and variety. You know, there are various versions of 3Vs, 5Vs, etc. But for us, velocity is very important because we're providing live data into the television broadcast and into the digital channels. So we need to be able to process that information in sub-second and minimize the latency of data transmission and processing. And so for us, the biggest challenge is that latency as opposed to necessarily the volume, but it's obviously processing that volume at such a minimal latency. So all of that data processing is done purely in memory, you know, processing in flight rather than having data stored and then processed. So we process it in flight and then we store it after the event.
So is it done in the trucks?
So there's a combination. So for the very low latency feed for things like information about speed that needs to be put into the television live, then that is all processed locally straight into the television graphics system.
Right.
But for the more complicated processing and the things that, you know, can have a multi-second delay, then we can process all of that in the cloud. And so things like calculations of groups and gaps, you know, is all processed in the cloud environment.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that each place where the vehicles stop has fiber optic cabling, but as the tour is unfolding, are you quite heavily reliant on the mobile network infrastructure as well to send data backwards and forwards?
We're very fortunate that the Tour being such a big race, the telecommunications partner of the Tour de France is Orange, and ahead of the race they put fibre optic cable through to each race finish line, so we actually have cabled internet connectivity here that is probably the would make a lot of corporates very jealous in terms of the quality of internet connectivity we have. But outside of that, you know, the ability for us to communicate as a team, and you know, we're a team who are on the road constantly. We're working with people around the world who are also often travelling and in different locations, and so things like mobile connectivity and different collaboration platforms are really critical for us as well.
Mm-hmm. So in this year's tour, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the first time you're doing it in this year's tour, you're applying machine learning and predictive analytics and some security solutions as well. To take us through that.
Yeah, so we actually began work on this last year, and as we tend to do, you know, as we try to introduce new capabilities, new innovations, we'll tend to experiment with those in the background, and as those you know, prove themselves out, then we can start to release them into the public arena. And so this year we're able to make use of, in particular, a range of machine learning models that we've developed, and they do a number of things. So you know, and primarily they're intended to help provide information to the fans, or to create, you know, new ways or interesting ways of fans to engage with the race. So an example of that is that we have an algorithm that each day is predicting the stage favourites. Who are the riders who are likely to perform well on this stage? And, you know, we're using that to create a bit of gamification around, we have journalists each day selecting their, you know, top three. We have our machine learning algorithm selecting its top three, and then we're encouraging people on Twitter to, you know, contribute their top three, and creating little competitions and an element of gamification around the race, you know, using machine learning. And the interesting thing is that the model, you know, is, you know, delivering very consistent, similar sorts of results to what we're seeing from the journalists who know the race.
I was about to say, is the computer winning?
yeah, and it does very well. And the interesting thing is that it will sometimes pick riders who, you know, people like myself who follow cycling races quite a bit. You know, it will make some picks that I think are sometimes a little bit strange, but when I do a little bit more research, I find out actually that's a really good pick, because it's just purely looking at the data, and it doesn't have my inherent biases, where maybe there are riders, you know, up and coming riders from Belgium or from the Netherlands who I'm not aware of, and whereas the machine will pick up those riders. But some of the other, you know, models that we've have been developing to predict the likelihood of the breakaway being caught. So often there'll be a small group of riders who will get out in front, and they might take a lead of, you know, 5 or 6 or even 10 or 12 minutes. And one of the interesting things about the race is, will the peloton catch the breakaway? And so, you know, we've got a model that is recalculating continually through the race to determine the likelihood that that breakaway is going to be caught at any point in time. We have another model that predicts the estimated time of arrival, and so the outputs of that are starting to be embedded into the official mobile application, so that people by the side of the road will know when the peloton is likely to come past them, so that they can plan their day more effectively. You know, we have a model also that is it takes inputs to do with the speed, the gradient, the wind conditions, the group size, you know, to determine the effort index. So how hard are the riders working at different points in time? Because there's a lot of strategy in the race about, you know, when when to expend your energy and when to save your energy. And so, you know, that helps to provide, you know, some guidance to fans about, you know, which groups are working hard at different points in time in the race, how they're using, maintaining their energy, you know, conserving their energy or spending their energy at critical moments within the race. But then, you know, we're also using those type of predictive and machine learning techniques in the way that we support and manage our solution, and in particular around security. So obviously it's the Tour de France is a high profile global event, and you know, ensuring that we have secure digital platforms, we have security around our data is absolutely critical. You know, we use, you know, predictive analytics to help us identify where there are potential weaknesses or threats within our environment, and also to identify, you know, based on analysis of the dark web and you know, different type of user traffic, where we might expect to see potential future threats that we might need to react to, or that we can proactively address, you know, before they even hit us.
Interesting. So, I mean, this is obviously a very high tech operation. Are you under attack from hackers?
Oh, absolutely. The reality is we're out there, you know, in a very public environment, and so, you know, we make a great, a very visible target, and so, you know, ensuring the security of our platforms is one of our highest priorities.
Fascinating. So Peter, the predictive analytics, I know there's still some time to go. I think 10 days still left in the Tour de France this year. Mm-hmm. Is it able to make any predictions about who's going to be the overall winner at this stage?
Yeah, we actually have quite deliberately chosen not to create a model that focuses on the overall winner, and focused primarily on the stages, mainly because from a fan engagement perspective, actually the different stages, you know, from an interest point of view, the fact that there are different riders who are going to perform well on different types of stages actually creates more discussion and more interest. Whereas with the overall general classification, there are only a very small number of riders that will typically come up as being the favourites, and I think, you know, if I was slightly cynical, I would answer if we were to create that model, I could guarantee that the machine will tell us that Chris Froome is most likely to win the Tour de France, and it just wouldn't be a very interesting a model as, you know, looking at different stages. And today, for example, the machine has predicted Daniel Martin, the Irish rider, to win today's stage. You know, and you know, that's a really interesting prediction. He certainly has the capability, and it's the kind of stage that you could see a rider like him, you know, getting away and winning. But it's not a really obvious choice. So yeah. That creates interest and it creates conversation, and a lot of, you know, as I said from the outset, you know, this is all about, you know, creating interest in the sport and helping the fans engage with the sport and understand the sport.
So we've been through how many stages now?
That's a difficult question. You know, we go through things so quickly. I think we're on stage 11 now.
Stage 11. So how accurate has the predictive analytics software been in determining who's going to be each stage winner so far?
Yeah, so we focus in on the top five, and we've been sitting at around 70% accuracy, which is a high level of accuracy for a sporting event. And as I say, probably the measure that I find most useful is how close it is to the predictions of the experts who really know the race.
Yeah.
The fact that I often reflect on the fact that what it demonstrates is that you can use machine learning to replicate the knowledge and capability of an expert, And in the business field, that's really important because, you know, experts are rare, they're expensive, and they don't scale very well. Whereas a machine learning model, once you've developed it, you can scale it. You can apply it to a much broader data set. You know, the ability to use it is only the cost to use it is only really governed by your computation, you know, cost of compute power. And so, you know, you know, while you still need those experts because they're the ones that actually help you develop the model and the knowledge, it then allows you to scale that knowledge, you know, in a way that you could never do before.
What about cheating? We know about the doping scandals that affected the Tour de France a few years back. Can technology be applied in some way to prevent that sort of thing?
And the ASO and, or probably more importantly, actually, the UCI, who are the governing body, you know, are using technology in a whole range of ways to govern the sport, whether that's, you know, they have, you know, technology to help them identify, you know, motorized, you know, potential what's called motorized doping, the idea of, you know, could there be motors in bikes, and they have technology to help detect to detect that. There's, you know, technology, you know, heavily applied around you know, drug testing and you know, the you know, the athletes, you know, biological passports and those types of things. So, you know, I think, you know, technology plays an important role in the sport generally. That's not so much the focus of what we're involved in, but it certainly is an area that technology is playing a key role.
Right. Peter, we're almost out of time, but before I let you go, anyone listening to this podcast who's really keen on this, and obviously you get data if you're watching the live feed on television, but if you want to really delve down into the real-time analytics, the real-time data, I presume you can do that through the Le Tour de France website?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's a couple of places that you can go on. So to the latour.com website, and from there you can link to Race Centre, which gives you all of the live race information. So that's at racecentre.latour.fr. You can also follow on Twitter at latourdata, and there we are, you know, presenting each day live race commentary using data. So, you know, presenting, you know, different information snippets, you know, data snippets, whether it be, you know, comparing different riders over particular parts of the course, identifying key things that have occurred, you know, average speeds, top speeds, etc., analysis of sprint, and doing a lot of that with infographics and visualizations and animations. So, you know, really easy to understand, and they just help explain what's happening within the race. So I'd encourage you to follow at LatourData on Twitter and go on to racecentre.latour.fr to follow the race online.
Brilliant stuff. Peter Gray, Senior Director of Technology for the Dimension Data Global Sports Practice. This has been a really fascinating discussion. Thanks for talking to Tech Central today, and best of luck for the rest of La Tour.
Thanks, Duncan. Appreciate it.